Yeah, and I'd just like to follow up on that, because I think that's a significant point, Chris, is that the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit in operation in our life. If we take those things that we read earlier from Isaiah 11, and we think about those things, he gives us wisdom and understanding through the scriptures. Okay, so that's two of them. And then he provides counsel and to direct our lives. That's the third one. And then he, that he might strengthen us to stand against the attacks of the enemy. That's the fourth one. And then that he might make known to us the knowledge of Christ. You think of all those things, and that's that work that he's doing in us. And so as we, as you say, spend time in his presence, and we're enjoying the table of showbread, the Holy Spirit illuminates us, enlightens us, helps us, takes those things, and works in our hearts and our lives.
Go ahead, Craig. Yeah.
I was just going to follow on that. I think there's, you know, to your point, Brother Tim, a really practical aspect of the light. I mean, without any light in there, one would imagine it'd be very dark. They'd be stumbling around, tripping, not really being able to do the things that they were asked to do. And so the light, in a very practical sense, enabled them to be free of error because they could see what they were doing. And I think there's that aspect of the Word of God. We know that in Psalms 119, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so there's this practical aspect of the light enabling them to be free of error, of giving wisdom, of giving direction. And the aspect of it being continually lit, and I think continually lit speaks to the continual guidance that God seeks to provide in our lives.
Excellent. So just to wrap that part up, we can emphasize it this way. Without taking anything away from Christ's character as the light of the world, and he is that, we might also say that the lampstand in particular, we need him as the light. Because the world never saw, if we could say it this way, I don't think they carried the lampstand burning. They were going to cover the lampstand and carry it through the wilderness. It would be lit again when it was placed in the tabernacle, when they would set up the camp again. So the world, in this character of the lampstand, he is the light of the world. But in this particular character, it's the priests who needed the light of the lampstand and who benefited from the light of the lampstand. We need, you know, it's, you know, the whole world is lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Sometimes we think of him only as light for sinners, but we need his light. And that really is important for us to just, you know, take that with us.
And with that, I don't know where that time goes. That's an enemy right there. But with that in mind, let's think about the fact that the priests, that's you and I, would trim those lamps. What does that speak of? What is there for us to do in that thought? Anybody have any scriptures or any thoughts that might help us there?
Well, maybe we can say that what happens when you trim a wick? You're cutting off part of the wick that has sort of served its useful purpose. You're getting rid of something that is actually going to dim the light. You're cutting off part of the wick that's already been burned so much that it's not going to be accepting the oil and it's not going to produce any light. So that has to be cut off. So clearly, we're not going to be cutting off any part of Christ. There's nothing of him that needs to be removed. We're not removing anything that's part of the Holy Spirit. So how are we looking at the light when it needs to be trimmed?
Am I going in your line?
Yep. What might that speak of in our lives? Maybe that's another way to ask that question. Whom the Father loves, he what? He chastens, right? So another aspect of trimming is to submit to the training. And the word discipline is not punishment, by the way. The word discipline there in Hebrews 12 is training. So we need to submit to the training of God in our life. And he may train us through punishment if we don't submit in other ways. So there's that aspect that we need to submit to Him, and in doing so, submitting to His will in our life, in how He's molding us and shaping us, even the trials and difficulties and whatever else it might be, submitting to that, in a sense, is a way in which we are allowing Him to trim us.
If I can make one quick addition to that. Steve, you were talking about how when you trim it, you remove the part that's no longer required, that has served its usefulness. I'm thinking of a passage, I believe, in Romans, where it talks about moving on from those teachings. I'm not sure if it's Romans or Hebrews. Am I getting that?
I think it's Corinthians.
Yeah, going beyond the basics.
Yeah, that's Corinthians
Hebrews.
Chapter 3, I think.
Okay. I was
and
just trying to find
Hebrews
the reference.
Hebrews 5, too, I think.
Hebrews 6, I'll just read the first verse. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and faith in God, instructions about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So the idea that I had was that once the light has, that part of the wick has served its usefulness, you know, the thought of going on from milk to meat, if we've studied a passage of scripture and we've gained the milk, then it's wise to move on to the meat. Otherwise, we will never grow. And that's a problem we see in the world sometimes, where a church will repeatedly go over just very basic Christian principles and not actually move on to deep subjects and thoughts. And you can't grow in that sense.
Point, especially in light of the continual nature of their trimming, one would suspect that at first if you were a first time priest, you probably weren't very good at it. But I'd imagine that over successive times, you'd continually get better and better. And I think that is a great picture of moving on from the elementary things and continuing to grow. And you know, we would love to all say that that is an aspect of our own Christian lives, that we're continually growing, but I think we can all attest to the fact that oftentimes that's not the case. But I think it's a great picture of that continual growth.
Yeah, I wanted to just keep reminding us of where this is, right? This is not out in the world. This
right.
is not out somewhere. This is a very private place where God invites us in, that He might show us the things that are precious to Him. And it's only in that private place, in that quiet place, that He makes that revelation. Think of, in terms of thinking of effects, we think of Moses, right? When he went up into the mountain to receive these instructions from the Lord, he was in the presence of the Lord. The Lord was illuminating all of these things to him, telling him, do it exactly as I tell it to you. And then it says when he came down out of the mount, what happened? That radiance that he had observed while he was in the presence of God, who is light, was all over him. And so what happens is we want to live dynamic, you know, victorious Christian lives out there. It won't happen unless we take these private sessions in the presence of God to let the light of Christ shine on us. That's Ephesians, right? That the light of Christ might shine on us, that we might enjoy the things that God wants us to do. That's what that private place is. Remember, we're not talking about, you know, something out there. It's in the sanctuary. We enter in, the light shines, God reveals to us what is precious and important to Him, and as we absorb that, as we are in the good of that, then when we go out, things will be different.
And I think that, go ahead.
Remember also that along with growing and moving on from milk to meat and so on.
Check for the switch.
Moving on from milk to meat and so on, growing, if you will, in the knowledge, there also has to be the practical growth as well. I was thinking of Hebrews 12, verse 1, laying aside the weights and the sins and these things to sort of align our walk with our so it's not just head knowledge. Because as good brethren, a lot of times we find ourselves very knowledgeable, but with very, very little to support it in our walk. And I'm thinking of the picture that's right ahead of us. That was really for the priests, and these were the holy people. This was their work. they're set apart for this, and they're to serve in the light. But for us as a holy priesthood, it is not just when we're in worship. It is before the world, and that's the, I think the aspect of the royal priesthood too, that we're to shine forth for the Lord. So really, our work as priests, it goes beyond the, you know, our personal time with the Lord, whatever time we take with Him throughout the day. It is at our workplace, at school, and so on.